will take your Bibles. We're going to start in Isaiah 25, verse 1. Isaiah 25, verse 1. It's the leftovers from a lot of spending, the natural progression of seasons bearing promise. It's the result of choices, good or bad, that leave a mark on your soul. It's change. Most often, we're very selfish with it. We see changes in ourselves or others, or we want to make changes in our lives or surroundings. From that point of view, we are invested in the perpetual fixer-upper that is our life. On the other hand, God has a picture in His mind of how He intended life to be for all of us. And He's at work to bring about change in every life to fit into that picture. From that point of view, Christians are involved in a family reunion where we're trying to get as many as possible into the picture. You ever try to do that at a family reunion? You know what I'm talking about? You know, everybody scoot in a little closer. You know, Grandma, can you just kind of lean to the left? And, you know, Brother, you know, Uncle so-and-so, will you, you know, get down in the back? We're trying to get everybody we can into the picture. Isaiah 25 and verse 1 says, O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Today I want to talk about change. I want to see the changes in myself. I want to see the changes God is making in our world, and I want to know how can I be a part of the change. Because it's going to happen. I mean, if there's one absolute in life, is that things change. Let's start with seeing the change in myself. The truth is, what you love changes you. Let that sink in a moment. What you love changes you. Look at it from both sides of the coin called change. Let's look at it from the negative. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. How many times have you heard that phrase, if you're going to lie with the dogs, you're going to get their fleas? Or, as it's said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Be not deceived, bad company ruins good morals. Or if you're of the King James, as I grew up on, bad companions corrupt good morals. I suspect change was gradual for Solomon. It started in his heart. Where faith in God was neglected or was allowed to erode and other gods found a place for his loyalty. It changed the way he talked. It changed his priorities. It changed his goals. Until later on in life, we actually get to see where Solomon thought or what he thought of all of those choices in the book of Ecclesiastes that he penned. Over 32 times, he says all that he had done had become was he saw and he saw it as vanity or meaningless or emptiness. I guess the modern word today would be it was stupid of me. Now, I want you to flip the coin and read with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. These are the people who worshipped other gods and now turned back to God. It says, For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You see, when love for God consumes you and your conviction is that His ways are what matter and connection to Him becomes evident, there is a gradual growing like a tree in springtime. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. You see, on this side of the coin, you choose different priorities. You let go of old self-destructive habits. You make new goals. You find people who support and encourage the change that is happening inside of your life. Now remember, what you love changes you. So if other things, if you love other things than God, it will change you and you won't have a place for God. If you love God, then the changes happen and it's going to change to please, you're going to please that who you love. So at this point, Solomon's words, I think, are very appropriate. From Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." It starts in the heart, doesn't it? What you love changes you. And you can see the changes in yourself. Now, let's talk about, though, seeing the changes that God causes. And this is really where I want you to pay attention. There are larger arenas where God wants change in His world. And that includes us in that work. Jesus uses three words, three word pictures, to impress upon us that truth. Salt, light, and yeast. So write those down and let's talk about them. Salt. Let's talk about salt. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." It is through us that Jesus causes change in our world. Now, I did a little research on this, and you science teachers and people out there, bear with me, because if I do this incorrectly, you can talk to me afterwards. But this is what I found out. Salt, okay, or like salt, right? Salt will speed things up, like rusting. And so we are in this world to speed things up, like where prejudice and unkindness are replaced with love and kindness. We are to be at the vanguard, or we to be at the forefront of that change. Like salt, we slow things down, like boiling, where anger is held back for wisdom to take its place. James chapter 1, let us all be slow to speak and slow to anger, but quick to hear. And if you mix it with peroxide, salt, it is said, cleanses, like stain removal. When God's salvation is applied to someone's life through the gospel, God uses us like salt. And He uses us like salt to pour us out into His world, to, according to Colossians 4 and verse 6, let our conversation be seasoned with salt so that we can share His grace with this world. And when mixed in Jesus' time with the manure that they used for their heating, for fire purposes, it turns up the heat of urgency. So that Jesus says that when we are in the world like salt, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that we actually create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You are a part of something bigger. It's not just about the change that's happening in your life. It's about what you're causing to happen in the world around you. Light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And it is through us that Jesus causes change in our world, like light is essential to growing, like in plants. Where people are shown, when the light of God is in our life, that we are becoming mature, responsible adults in an otherwise very self-indulgent world. Where people have obviously let their filters go on certain things that they say and do. And they need those filters back. We're living in a time, Ephesians 5 and verse 9 and 10 says, where we need to walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found, it says, in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Like light, we're in the world as a source of energy, like from the sun. For the community around us recognizes our efforts to do the good works for which we were created in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created for good works. Like light, we expose the darkness, like a flood lamp just kind of comes on and you can see all those things that happen on in the dark, and you kind of look and think, wow, that doesn't need to be there, or that is a shame, and where shame is led to repentance and forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, it says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." And one of the best disinfectant or germ killers is light. And like light, we're in the world where someone's life can be made clean by Jesus Christ. I love the prayer of Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79, where Simeon says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." God uses us like light to show the world the change that He can make happen. Again, we're part of something bigger. Yeast, Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. "And again, he said, 'To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened.'" I like this one too, because when Jesus uses that, it's through us that Jesus causes change in our world, because yeast can cause normal things to rise up, like bread dough, where our presence lifts up everyday conversation from cranky gripes to petty gossip. And we can actually talk about things of substance and things that matter, things that are of eternal consequence. And like yeast, it adds sweetness. I didn't know this, but it's how they make root beer. I love root beer. But there's yeast involved, and it makes it sweet. I like that. Where our presence replaces sour attitudes with a welcome pop of pleasantness. You can write that one down. I made that up on my own. A pop of pleasantness. I like that. Yeah. You can be the pop of pleasantness. All right? Get away with that cranky attitude of yours and be a pop of pleasantness. It restores normalcy, like a probiotic in your gut. Not going any farther with that. Where life, though, as God intends it, balances the craziness we see every day. In Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 13, when God gave His sacrifices to His people to make, He says this, "With the sacrifice of His peace offerings for thanksgiving, He shall bring His offering with loaves of leavened bread, and from it He shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord." God uses us like yeast in the community around us, reminding others that life is a gift from God. And our presence should cause peace and gratitude, lifting up everything and everyone around us to a higher level of accountability, to a higher level of acceptance, to a higher level of peace, to a higher level of living according to the will of God. Let's talk about being a catalyst for change. By definition, a catalyst is, the second definition is, a person or thing that causes a change to happen. Something that causes a change. Be that someone that causes a change to happen. Whatever is going on in your life personally is important. I understand. You need to change. You need to be a better person. You need to do things. You need to let go of some things, and you need to do some things better. I understand all that. And you need to make changes in relationships. And there need to be changes, you know, that happen. And there are changes that are going to happen. But you have to remember that your presence and activity in the world around you changes your relationships. It changes this church. It changes our community. And we can't just settle on being a better person. We are a part of the larger work of God. Let's sit down for a moment in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Turn with me there. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There are two practical ways that we engage in making that change happen for God. First one, it says present the sacrifice. Present the sacrifice. The word present literally means stand close, ready to offer. So we see that our life redeemed in that verse, His mercy having made us holy and acceptable for His purpose, leads us to a point where we offer, present, okay, our sacrifice, our lives, every day, every opportunity, because it just makes sense that we would serve God in these ways as we would worship Him. We cause change to happen when we stand ready to do whatever it is God needs done for that to happen, for that His change to happen. Secondly, prove the will of God. The word prove is literally to reveal by the testing. To reveal by the testing. So we don't live by the pattern of this corrupt world. We become mature adults with God-centered souls, and we're able to show the work of God in and through us as people and His church of what it is He had in mind all along that is both good, pleasing, and perfect to Him. And that is His will. We have to be an example to others. We have to model for others. We have to take that responsibility. And you're sitting there thinking, but wait, there are so many changes that have to happen in me. I get it, but you have to understand, God is working through us and through this church in this community for this time, and He is making those changes in other lives through you. You can't throw your hands up and run backwards and say, no, that's not me, that's not me, I'm not ready, that's not me. It's happening. And you are a part of the change. Own it. Be it. Do it. The change in my pocket. I borrowed this from my wife. She said I had to give it back. I don't know why she thought that. Like maybe I'd keep 70 cents. I don't know. The change in my pocket could show that I've been very busy spending my wife's money. But that I had left over, that I had something left over for another day. I want to be the change. I want God to spend me, and whatever's left over, I want Him to take that and put it together with whatever's left over from you, and I want to make another change happen. I want to be the change where God spent, and I'm here to be spent again. Change. It happens all the time. Let's be a part of what God is changing in us and around us for His purpose and glory. I want you to be a part of the change. And to do that, you need to be a part of His life. And to do that, you need to be a part of Jesus. And that's His invitation to us today. If you haven't put Jesus on in baptism, we offer you that invitation to join you in that and doing that this morning. If you need to repent of sin, we ask that you come and you make that need known as well. If we can help you, would you come as together we stand and as we sing.